This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us now to 1503, and it's a Q&A program taking place live from the Al Ansar Foundation Radio, Al Ansar, 207 West Road, Overport, Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And alhamdulillah, it's our shukrulillah. Indeed, very, very rare for us to have Mufti Sahib at our studios here in Durban, be it at Al Ansar or be it at the Markaz Durban studio. So today, alhamdulillah, we're honored to have Mufti Sahib not only in the studio. Mufti Sahib has been here with us in Durban from Wednesday, and inshallah tonight is the program at Mia Bank Masjid, tomorrow at the Avondale Musalla, and then inshallah Mufti Sahib will join us after that in the month of Rabiul Awal. Mufti Sahib, our very next question that has come in, and this person says that can I get hula if my husband takes many wives and I can't cope with this?
Before we respond to our brother who can't cope, we need to place and record our sincerest thanks to all the directors of the various radio stations of Radio Al Ansar, where we are currently, mashallah. We need to thank our and say jazakumullahu khaira to Haji Muhammad Yusuf, his family, our Hafiz Shabir Basra Basha and his family, and Haji Faisal Asmal of Sirius FM, his family, and likewise our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas Shafa'ullah and his entire Epic Capital Group, inshallah. And here with me in the studio, mashallah, as I look around, is Hafiz Hussein Wadi, our engineer, brother Abdul, my brother Dawood Monli, our manager, mashallah, Bilal is here, brother Bilal, Hafiz Haji Muhsin is here, Randeri, with me. So all, mighty Allah, Jalla Wala, reward all of them, mashallah. Okay, the brother now want to take two wives, three wives, four wives, or he's already got multiple wives, Allah alone knows, so he can't cope with them. What you can't cope, my brother? You can't cope in the nocturnal gymnastics, or you can't cope in the expenditure? That is also another question. So maybe they made you old and cold and tired and retired, brother, and especially now Ashura coming, they are going to demand, Habi, come, give something. So therefore, when we deviate from Quran Sharif, then always we have problems. When we deviate from the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have problems. I give you one Quranic verse, and I mention to you one hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran Sharif, Surah 4, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. If you fear you cannot do justice to two, three, four wives, then one wife only. Old is gold, remember that. She gave you her life, she left her parents, she left her siblings, she left the place of her birth. She is the mother of your children, and you deflowered her. So imagine what sacrifices she made. وَلَا تَنْسَهُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the bounties, the grace of Almighty Allah, all the wonderful moments you relished and cherished with her. But people become greedy, they become wealthy, they become famous, and now let's try number two, number three, number four, and then they big problems, the whole empire starts crumbling in front of them. So many times we saw this. See Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one dua. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah, the only rahmatulil alameen alayhi salatu salam. Mercy to every creation of Almighty Allah. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has several wives and spouses, and now but the love, how you have children, but you have one favorite son or favorite daughter. So that is beyond your control. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua. Allahumma la tu'akhidni fi ma la amliku wal tamlik. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't take me to task. Meaning showing us, the ummah, a lesson. For that which I cannot possess, but you possess it. I love my Siddiqa, I love Humaira, I love Sayyida Aisha much more compared to the other co-wives. So when the things are beyond our capacity control, so that is not going to be questioned. But where there is blatant favoritism, you spend 1 week with one wife and one night with the other wife, so these are things that are totally haram. You give one wife 100,000, 50,000, and other one 5,000, so that is unacceptable. So where we are oppressing one and favoring the other, so that is what Islam is condemning.
Jazakallah. Mufti Sahib, if you read your qaza of the Zuhr Salah in the awal time of Asr, will the Zuhr Salah be qaza?
Remember that once a person reads Salat in time, now let's look at it. I'm not sure regarding Durban, but I'll just use my own discretion. Let's say today, right, 8th of Muharram, 8th of September, you can check your perpetual timetable. I'm just giving times at random. Let's say 3:30. Zuhr time ends, and thereafter Asr time will start. That is according to the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and remember Imam Abu Hanifa's greatest two students, Sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad. They say when the length of that object is equivalent to one shadow, Zuhr time expires and Asr time starts. So let's just say, example, I'm saying 3:30. So that person now went to read his salat, 4:15 of Zuhr salat. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, for example, the time for Zuhr will last till 4:00, and the time for Asr will start after that. And this person read there at 4:15, just before 4. For example, we are saying. So in a case like that, we will say, yes, the Salat is Qadha, and it was not read on the appointed time, according to majority scholars. Inna Salata kanat al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta, hafidhu ala salawati wa salatil husta. So therefore, you will get a sin because you read it out of time. However, Imam Abu Hanifa only, rahimahullah, states that that is still Zuhr time. He works with mithlain. That is the object that you inserted into the land and sand. So when it is two shadows, so that's the time Zuhr time will expire and Asr time will start. So we will say yes, they try and ensure that you read your salat before 3:30. So in that way, you know, you don't get involved in any difference of opinion. So that will be the advice we can give you regarding that issue.
Jazakallah khair for that. Mufti Sahib, please can you share with us how a lady should sit and read salah so that I can ensure I'm not making any mistakes in my salah?
Jazakallah khairan to our sister for that beautiful question. We belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In a nutshell, we believe in the noble Quran. We believe in the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love and we believe that all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum will enter Jannah as enshrined in the noble Quran. Wa kullu wa'adallahu al-husna. Hence, we have to defend their honor and their contribution and legacy. And we believe in the awliyaullah and we accept the four schools of thought. We believe the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis, Salatul Rajul and Salatul Mar'ah, that between the male and female Salat, there are definite differences. But you get today people who call themselves the Salafi, they say the Salat is the same. I'm amazed that they make these kind statements. Otherwise, we can prove to you from Quran and from the Sunnah Mubarakah that remember that the male and female, they are, everything will be different. So in the Quran Sharif, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. You know, a male is not like a female is not like a male. Second one that you see in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by when two females were performing salat. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "Ida sajadtuma, when you're going to perform sajda, fadumma ba'd al-lahmi ila al-ard, then you don't pick up your posterior and the back portion like the man Because for innal mar'at alaysat ka rajul, the woman are not like the man in that posture. A woman's salat is based on haya, shame and modesty. So haya, shame, modesty, morality is for everyone. But more so it's emphasized for the female. So therefore, my sister, if you are standing and reading salat, so you will just bow down little bit for your ruku, and then you will go down in sisda, but you will not pick up your posterior and so forth. If you are sitting and reading salat because of your sickness, illness, old age, then remember that you will keep your buttocks, your posterior on your feet. You don't pick that up for ruku. You just bow down, bend down 2-3 inches. And then for sisda, because you can't perform the sisda on the ground, then you bend down 5-6 inches more. You bend down more for sisda compared to ruku. So that is how you will perform the salat. Similarly for the man, remember that when we performing salat sitting and we can't now read salat, you know, make sajda on the ground. So when you go into ruku, you don't go and pick up the buttocks posterior. You leave it where it is and just bend down your back, and then your sajda, you will go further down. So ruku 2-3 inches, and remember sajda 5-6 inches. And you see many men in the masjid, we see this, that somebody is taking out his hands, flying like a goalkeeper. Somebody is doing other things. There's no such thing like that. When you are standing, then you fasten your hands. When you are sitting posture, or you are going now in ruku, sajda, all that, you keep your hands on your thigh, and that's all you should be doing. So that is how you perform your salat.
Mufti Sahib, the sister wants to know, is it permissible to remove facial hair and pubic hair during hajj?
If you open Bukhari Sharif, the Tarjamatul Bab, the heading Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brought, is Babul Junub Yamshi Fil Aswaq, that a junub, a person who's in need of a first ghusl, compulsory bath, because of his wet dream or conjugal rights with his spouse, you know, husband, wife, so relationship. So in there they brought the saying of the tabi'in and so forth, that they said, يُقَلِّمُ أَسْفَارَهُ وَيَحْلِقُ رَأْسَهُ. So it shows that a person, male or female, the male is in a state of junub where he needs a compulsory bath. The female is in a menses, so she, when she gets clean and the bleeding stops, she has to take the obligatory bath. So whilst they're in that state, can they clip their nails? Can they remove unwanted hair, pubic hair, and so forth? So yes, it is permissible according to majority scholars. According to Hanafis, is makruh tanzihi. Makruh tanzihi means permissible, but better to abstain. So if a person does it, there will be no sin upon that person there. So that is Bayanul Madahib. We gave you the verdict and we gave you the reference as well. If you want to study this topic further, go to Fathul Bari, Umdatul Qari, and all these great commentaries of Bukhari Sharif by Ibn Hajar Asqalani and Allama Badruddin Aini and so forth. And you will find the details there of this chapter. I just gave you the heading, Babul Junub Yamshi Fil Aswaq.
Mufti Sahib, my niece was proposed twice. Unfortunately, it did not work out. Alhamdulillah, she has a third proposal. She is so scared to accept as she might get hurt again. What dua can she read to overcome her fear?
No, my sister, in life is, we all belong to one university, sister. You are my daughter, you are my student, you are whatever. So now we belong to the university of life. Life, there are vicissitudes, there are up and down, moments of happiness, moments of sadness. We are happy together, we cry together. Adahaka wa abaka. Almighty Allah gives you time to smile, to laugh. He gives you time to cry and grieve and so forth. That is Qudrat ka karishma hai, the manifestation of the power and the unity of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So first thing, my sister, my daughter, what you need to do is La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Whenever you're going to read salat, before asr now, 2 rakat salat extra, or after maghrib or after isha, 2 rakat extra. So say, Ya Allah, I'm reading this. that you give me a beautiful, handsome person who will be a good husband for me, a good father to my children, and so forth and so on. Yurid Rabbana Hablana min Azwajina wa Dhurriyatina Qurrata Ayun. Surah 25, verse 74. So you must remain positive with Almighty Allah. One Quranic verse, one hadith. Quranic verse, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Whatever the circumstances are, never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. People who lose hope and have become despondent, Quran says they're non-Muslim. La yayasu min rawhillahi illa al-qawmul kafirun. Surah Yusuf. The people who lost hope, became despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah, they're already out of the fold of Islam. Hadith Qudsi Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that Almighty Allah Jalla wala states, Ana akunu ala abdi dhanni bi. I will treat my servant as he thinks of me and has conviction in me. So you must say, sister, Surah 7, verse 151, وَأَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. Ya Allah, twice it broke. Ya Allah, give me the best of the best and make that the one that is lasting. So in that way, you beg Almighty Allah, give out charity. You read Surah 25, verse 74. Your parents, grandparents, whoever alive, tell them to read Surah 25, Surah Furqan, verse 54. Surah 25, verse 54, the parents, grandparents will read. For the children who are not married, grandchildren are not married. Those of you 18, 20, 25, 30, you want to get married, Surah 25, verse 54, verse 74 for the children, and verse 54 for the parents. What are you going to read, O parents? وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَسِحْرًا. Almighty Allah gave us parents. My father, Ismail. My mother, Halima. So Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. So now you get married, wasihira. So now you get in-laws. So you become family to them. They become family of yours. And you'll never become outlaw. Always in-law, inshallah. So read Surah 25, verse 54, parents. And Surah 25, verse 74, O children. So Almighty Allah will give you good pious spouse, inshallah.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, next question. It says, my husband suffers with severe bleeding piles. Is there any dua to read for this?
In Arabic, it is called bawasir. Remember that for this, the best thing is, from Islamic perspective, that you should be reading Surah Fatiha 7 times, blown yourself. Read Surah 21, verse 83. And that is the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Anni massani yadur wa anta arhamur rahimin. O beloved Allah, a calamity, disaster has struck me. You are, Ya Allah, whilst you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Read that abundantly. All of you who feel down and sick, Surah 21, verse 83. In the 17th juice, 17th para, you will find it there. And as a family, as a collective, read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Then obviously, zamzam, honey, olive oil, all these are great, great things which Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Regarding olive oil, kulus zayt, waddahinu bihi. Eat the olives and use the olive oil to apply it on your body where there are pains and aches and so forth. The hadith, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, is from a blessed tree, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. مَا أُزَمْزَمَ لِمَا شُرِبَ لَهُ. Whatever intention you make with zamzam water, Almighty Allah will grant you cure. The hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah, is authentic. Honey, Quran Kareem speaks of it in the noble Quran, and that is fihi shifa'ul linnas. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, alaykum bi shifa'ain. Use the two things which have shifa. One is Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, and one is Al-Asal. The read the Quran Sharif and blow on yourself and have honey. So the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustafa Ahmad. So various items we will find that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to use.
Mufti Saab, next message. There is a close family member. She's regular in her salah and reading of the Quran. Unfortunately, she does all the wrong things which are not permissible in Islam. Everything is going wrong in her life, yet she does not realize her wrongdoings. You can't speak to her. She's violent. Mufti Saab, please advise.
Many a time people read abundant salah, they read tahajjud, and they will have tasbih in their hand. Maybe they read Quran Sharif. But when they speak, they swearing people, abusing people, hitting the children, hitting their subordinates. Oh, for example, their business, corporate life is corrupted. That there is wheeling, dealing taking place, not paying the creditors. So many examples we know of that. So remember, you're inviting the wrath and the anger of Almighty Allah. If you place it on a scale, we need to understand this, and especially those who do not belong to the Islamic faith. If you analyze Islam, then you will realize that 25 to 30% maximum, if you stretch it 1/3, that are hukukullah, what we call the acts of worship. We pray, we give charity, we go for pilgrimage, we fast. So that is where we are worshipping Almighty Allah and displaying our love to Almighty Allah directly. But if you take 75%, 80% plus, depending how you want to look at it, so our deen, our religion of Islam, our code of Islam is interaction with creation. So therefore, sometimes people have the wrong end of the stick and miswak, that they think if they just pray salat, fast during Ramadan, give out charity, they're super Muslim. But treating their staff, treating their neighbors, treating people very, very badly and shabbily. So that is not Islam. To summarize it, Islam is to pray, P-R-A-Y, to Almighty Allah at all times, all places. And not to pray, P-R-E-Y, on the creation of Allah. Whether it's human beings, whether it's non-Muslims, whether it's animals, whatever it is. That is the beauty of Islam. And we need to understand the great message of Islam.
Mufti Saab, when you travel more than 80 kilometers for 2 days, can you combine the Maghrib and Isha Salah?
If you are calculating from your boundary to the boundary of your destination, and it is 80 kilometers or more, 48 miles or more, so the cutoff is 78 kilometers or more. So 78 kilometers or more, 48 miles or more, certain countries still use miles, so therefore we use it. And we don't work from home to home, we work from boundary to boundary, then you are classified as musafir. Yes, you can combine your zohar and asr in zohar time, zohar and asr in asr time, maghrib and isha in maghrib time, maghrib and isha in isha time. According to the Shafi's, Hanbalis, Malikis, Hanafis say no, not permissible to combine, and it would not be acceptable as well. However, the Shafis, Hanbalis and them have certain conditions. The person who is undertaking this journey, we are in Durban, and now we are going to Ladysmith, Newcastle, for example, and after 2 days, 3 days, we're coming back. So everybody say you musafir. So you can combine according to majority scholars, but the journey itself must be permissible. I'm going, somebody's going for haram purpose, we're going to meet the girlfriend, going to meet the joy boy, toy boy, we're going for some casino, from soccer match, cricket match, then you can't combine. An-ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur. Look at the great law which is mentioned by Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, and them. To combine salat is a bounty, is a favor, is a concession from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Now, bounties and concessions of Allah cannot be obtained via vices and sin. So therefore, the journey must be a permissible journey. Then you speak of qasr, shortening the prayer, and making jama, combining the prayer. Otherwise, you're not entitled to do so. That is the fatwa of the Shafis, Hanbalis. And Hanafis say, no, you can't combine it all.
Well, moving on to the next question, Mufti Saab. Can the lady take the surname of her husband, and is this necessary in Islam?
When you get married, you, the wife, you have three options. You can maintain and retain your own surname. So there's no problem with that. Maiden name is fine, Islamically. Khadija binti Khuwailid, Aisha binti Abi Bakr, and Hafsa binti Umar. So you see, in Islam, that is what used to happen. Then, today we live in Western societies, Western countries. So now they register the name with the surname of the husband. That also is permissible. For those people who today send out WhatsApp messages and so forth, and they say it's haram and not permissible, they're quoting the Quran out of context. Surah 33, verse 5, Ud'uhum li'abaihim wa aqsatu indallah. Take my example, perfect example. Married 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever. So you're married now and you don't have children. So now we adopt a boy, a son, a daughter, whatever. So Quran Sharif is commanding us, call the adopted boy, the girl, or whoever it is, by their biological father's name. You can't give them the name, surname of the adopted parents, clearly enshrined in a noble Quran. So that ayat, if you understand tafsir and commentary and exegesis properly of Quran, is to do with waladiyat, is to do regarding children and so forth. And not to do with zawjiyat, not to do with husband-wife. So when the wife takes and assumes the surname of the husband, it don't mean she's saying that that person there has become my father, or my father-in-law is my father. That is a misconception. كَمْ مِنْ فَاقَى كَمْ مِنْ آئِبٍ قَوْلًا صَحِيحًا وَآفَتُهُ مِنَ الْفَهْمِ سَقِيمِ. How many people object to a thing that is right, but they themselves, their puny little brains, let them down. So people are quoting that ayat and using it for this which is wrong. So that got to do when you are an adopted child and so forth. So that is what that verse refers to. So in Islam, when you get married, you keep and maintain and retain your own surname, permissible. You change your surname to your husband, is fine. And if you want to be a little bit fancy, you keep a double barrel surname. Nice word that. So you keep your surname and you must remember your husband's surname. For example, let's just say example. Your name is Maryam Hussein, right? And now you got married to Randeri. So you say Maryam Hussein Randeri. So now you maintain your surname and you took your husband's surname. So Islam is no objection. So all three are acceptable. To use Surah 33 and verse 5, remember, is a travesty of justice and is incorrect to use that verse.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us already to our next break, already 15:29, and the last half an hour coming up after this. But do remember Mufti Sahib's program tonight at the Mirbank Masjid, and tomorrow night, the Ashura night program. Mufti Sahib is going to be at the Avondale Musalla tomorrow, and that program is going to be immediately after the Maghrib Salah.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us now to 15:32 on this 8th day of Muharram, 1441, the last 25 minutes of the Q&A program. Alhamdulillah, once again, we're indeed very fortunate that we have Mufti Sahib with us here in studio at the Al Ansar Foundation, and that is Radio Al Ansar. Mufti Sahib, moving on to our next question, going to the WhatsApp. It says, my mum missed her fast in Ramadan due to illness. What options does she have now?
Alhamdulillah, Almighty Allah, grant your mummy complete shifa and a speedy recovery. If she's feeling well now, then qada is compulsory upon her. If she must 10, 15, 17 fast, so all that qada is compulsory. Once a week, twice a week, she can keep the qada in her leisure time for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. If she is still ill and the doctors say that no, her condition is getting worse and condition is deteriorating, Allah forbid, and she won't be able to fast now or in the future, then in that case their fidya will be compulsory. Fidya is a compensation, 30 rand per fast she will have to pay. So let's say she must 10 fast, so 300 rand she will have to give to poor Muslims who are entitled to receive zakat, and that will be called fidya. And the third one will be if she paid that amount already, and then subhanallah, with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, she recovered, then qada is still compulsory and the payment she made will be considered as voluntary charity. So these are the issues that you need to know regarding this situation.
Mufti Saab, quite a few questions have been coming in pertaining to the situation in Kashmir. What is the latest, Mufti Saab?
Remember, the latest is Almighty Allah has His own systems. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Almighty Allah gives izzat and honor to whomever He wishes. Almighty Allah gives zillat and disgrace to whomsoever He wishes. I just mentioned to you three incidents. The unholy alliance between the apartheid regime of Israel and now the Indian regime that is going in that direction of apartheid. They're supposed to have a meeting, the two prime ministers. But remember, they cancel it. So see the humiliation Almighty Allah is letting them face. India sent something to the moon and what have you. All that in failure. You see, the Americans sent many, many years ago. They sent one rocket or what have you. And they call it Challenger. And then it just went up not even 5-10 minutes. And it was blasted to smithereens. Who you want to challenge? You want to challenge Allah? So Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala is the one and only. Wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. He is the Almighty, the All-Powerful. So that is Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So you find the Indian regime and you find the Israelis going for elections again. Re-election, second one in 2019. And remember that now, if you look at, if you read the news, the Haaretz and so forth, then you will know that how worried Netanyahu and his party and all of them are. So they are our worst enemies. Quran has mentioned this, Surah 5, verse 82. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. The Yahud, the Jews, and the Mushriks, the idol worshippers, majority of them we speak, we don't say all. So that is what Quran is teaching us. So the people of Kashmir, their only way will be this. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith in Sunan Nasai. Imam Nasai rahimahullah has mentioned three ahadith, and the heading he has mentioned Ghazwatul Hind, that you take up arms and you fight against the people who are oppressing you and transgressing your rights and going beyond all limits. Our women are getting raped, our children are being kidnapped, and so many are being tortured, so many are in prisons and what have you. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentic hadith, Isabatan min ummati, there'll be two groups of my ummah, and see how beautifully it fits in with verse Surah 5 verse 82. Two groups of my ummah, the ahrazahumullahu minan nar, Almighty Allah Jalla wala will protect and save them from Jahannam. One, Isabatun taghzul Hind, that group will fight Hindustan, will fight the mushriks, the idol worshippers. Allah Jalla wala will grant them victory through His grace and mercy. Wa isabatun taghzu, and another group will be that will fight with Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Ma Isa ibn Maryam, in the latter days when the second coming takes place of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. This hadith is hadith is sahih and authentic in Sunan Nasai. Even Sheikh Albani said it is hadith is sahih. Second one, that Imam Nasai has mentioned three ahadith. One hadith that is mentioned is on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He states, if I am there, I will use all my assets, my money, everything, and participate. And if I pass away, I'll become min afdali shuhada, one of the greatest martyrs of this current time and present time. And if I survive, we are victorious also. Are we defeated? Wa anal muharrar, I will be liberated, emancipated, and saved from the fire. Subhanallah. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam are teaching this ummah. You want that izzat and honor? then you have to take them on. Open Surah 17, Surah Bani Israel, and go and read the first 10, 12 verses. Almighty Allah told the apartheid regime of Israel, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِذَنْ لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا. The Muslim army will come and disfigure your faces. They will enter Masjid al-Aqsa as they entered it the first time, not through negotiation of the PA and the NA, but jihad and fighting the enemy and crushing their pride and arrogance. So that is what will happen, remember. If you want, O ulama, O people who know Arabic, one of the greatest books you can read on this topic, Haqa'iqul Qur'aniyya Hawla Qadiyyatil Falastiniyya, a masterpiece. If you want in English, mashallah, one of my, let's call them students, that she said, she wants that book because she heard it many times, that Jerusalem, the key to world peace. So I gave it on loan and said, make sure you return it, because I made many notes there. So these are the books you should be reading, and you will see how Almighty Allah will grant the Muslims victory, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mufti Saab, going to our WhatsApp line, it says, what can you read for a husband that is very stubborn and does not want to listen to his wife?
In a case like that, you should be reading Ya Wadudu abundantly. Allahumma alif baina qulubina. Ya Allah, draw our hearts closer to one another. Allahumma aslih dhata bainina. Ya Allah, bring about reform, piety. The most important thing must be you, the wife, who feels your husband is arrogant, obstinate, stubborn, call it whatever you want to. Your timing has to be perfect. What is the meaning of your timing has to be perfect? You see, sometimes you have a smart car, but that car is not performing on its maximum optimum, you know. They say it's misfiring. So some of you wives, you'll misfire also. How? When the husband is blowing his top and that, he tells you 5 words, you tell him 10 words. He tells you few words, you tell him many paragraphs. So no, you must keep quiet. After a few hours, when he's sober, next day when he's cooled down, he will come and then he will try and play good boy, you see. He will say, darling, honey, my sweetheart, that's the time you have to play your trump card. And you have to get him in a good mood when the children are not there. And now he comes to you with a guilty feeling. So that's the time you say that, you know, Ashura, you know, the shoes, you say carpet, clothing, everything, he'll make GGG, he'll give you the whole credit card, debit card, everything. So that is, now your people's timing is wrong. So what happens is that now it just makes matters worse, and then the fighting goes on. Just keep quiet. But the woman, who can keep quiet? They will tell them it's your democratic right to. I told you the incident. Qissatu Umar wal A'rabi, Allama Tantawi rahimahullah wrote. The kitab's name, Akhbari Umar. A person came who was a Bedouin, right to the house of Sayyidina Umar. He's Amirul Mu'mineen. He takes a U-turn and he goes away. Sayyidina Umar saw him. He sent the person, called that person. He said, you came and you went away, why? They said, leave it, Sayyidina Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, leave it. He said, no, I insist. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I spoke few words with my wife. She gave me paragraphs and gave me a tongue lashing. And I felt so bad, I came here. I could hear your wife giving you a tongue lashing. I said, what does Amir al-Mu'mineen help me? We're sitting in the same boat. Said Umar, the genius, Amirul Mu'mineen, said, come here, let me and you. Your husband, I'm husband. Let us man to man discuss it. Who looks after your children? He say, wife. Who cleans your house? He say, wife. Who cooks for you? Wife. Who looks after your valuable wife? Who stitches your clothes when they're torn in those days? You know, he say, wife. Like that, said Umar, stimulated his thinking. He said, subhanallah. One lady, and she's running 5, 6, 7 portfolios. Sometime they blow a fuse. Leave them, let them bring the roof down. They're doing it in their house. She's the queen of the house. So you see, Sayyidina Umar is teaching the Ummat. that give your wife space also. Let them blow their top and then just say, honey, take some money, caress her, kiss her and all. And then Almighty Allah softens the heart. But when you want to fight the whole time, then things will just go bad to us.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us already to 1544. Says that Mufti Sahib had spoken about the hadith narrated by Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Please enlighten us on that.
If you want all these ahadith that were reported by Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, I've got a very special copy of Musnad Ahmad. Before I used to go, alhamdulillah, we still go with Allah's help and Allah's mercy to Haramain Sharifain, to Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara. But before, I'm speaking of 10, 20 years ago, I used to go a lot to Madinah University, Al Jamia Islamiyah. I even knew the lecturers personally. So they would tell me this book, that book, and so forth. And I used to bring from there, you know. So they gave me, in fact, they gave me this one copy of Musnad Ahmad. So in there, you, what is great about it, let's say that you say that about Ibn Umar, the ahadith reported by Abdullah Ibn Umar. So they will tell you Asahul Asanid Ibn Umar. They will tell you that these are the most famous and the best and authentic chains of ahadith that go to Abdullah Ibn Umar. They'll tell you Malik An-Nafi an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qal qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you need to study Rijal. You need to study the narrators and reporters of hadith. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah's one teacher was Ali ibn Abdullah, Ali ibn Madini. And he, Bukhari, Muhammad bin Ismail, was a genius and giant. So he, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, used to say, when I used to sit in the dars, in the lesson of Ali ibn Madini, then we used to feel we are kanahar, we are small streams and rivulets, and he was bahar, he was the ocean. You see, Durban, we got the ocean. Now we come with a small little stream. So why? Because Ali ibn al-Madini said, "Ilmu rijali nisfu ilmi al-hadith." To know the man is to know half the science of hadith. Today is a neglected science. Let us be honest about this. So even in madrasas, darul ulum, majority of the time, very few students know this. So anyway, what we need to do is go and reaffirm our love for Ahlul Bayt, our love for Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein. So you, the students who have got Musnad Ahmad, go and study the ahadith reported, the 8 ahadith by Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, the 13 ahadith that are reported by him, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu. I give you one. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu is walking in Medina in the gullies, alleys. He found a date. He picked it up. He's a young person. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him. My beloved Sibtu Rasulullah, my beloved grandson, don't do that. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuka. Leave that which puts you into doubt and opt for that in which there is no doubt. See, Nana, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching, making tarbiyat, training, coaching his beloved Nawasa and grandson. Anything that is doubtful, anything haram, you don't touch it at all. So see, who does all this today? So learn this ahadith of Hassanain, of Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein. We implore, we beg all the imams, honorable imams of the world, that read Qunut Nazila, where I read Fajr Salat. I read Salat, I was in Marisburg on Friday night. So Saturday morning, mashallah, the Imam read Qunut Nazila there in Marisburg. I was very happy. So if you want to know the hadith of Qunut Nazila, Allahumma hadina fi man hadait, wa'afina fi man afait, wa tawallana fi man tawallait. So the whole dua mentioned by Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu. So go study the ahadith, memorize it, and teach it to others. That is taking the legacy of the Ahlul Bayt and educating the Ummah. Allah Jalla wa'ala give us tawfiq.
I mean, indeed, something to reflect upon for Muharram 1441. Mufti Sahib, another query has come in. Says that, Mufti Sahib, please explain to us about the iddat, as you know, there are lots of misconceptions in the community.
People don't only confuse the woman, they blow their fuses also in the process. If a lady has been given talaq, one, two or three divorces, then Quran Kareem teaches us, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوا. Quru is those words in Arabic, minal azdad. One word, two opposite meanings. It means menses also. It means period of cleanliness also. So the Hanafis and Hanbali said, it means three menses. So when the husband divorces his wife, the ideal situation is, she is fi tuhurin, in the period of cleanliness. He, the husband, did not have conjugal relationship with her during that time, and then he gave her one or two divorce, and if he gave three, then all three are valid, and the iddat will be three menses. When the third menses finishes, then the iddat expires. And that is Hanafis, Hanbalis. The Shafis and Malikis say no, that Salatata Quru means three periods of cleanliness. So that is their verdict, the Shafis and the Maliki jurors and scholars. If the lady is pregnant, then remember that Surah 65, Surah Talaq, verse 4, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَيَّدُعَنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. Whenever she gives birth, her iddat expires, whether it is for death or whether for divorce. And in the case of death, remember, and she's not pregnant, then it is 130 days, 130 days from time of death. These are the confusions. If the husband gave his wife one talaq or two talaq, raj'i, revocable divorce, then the wife should stay in that house. Why? She should beautify herself, adorn herself, so that the husband can realize Islam is teaching us to save the home and make the home and not break the home. So that is why we are giving the husband another chance to rectify and redress the issues. Similarly, we must remember that if the husband gave three talaq, then the wife cannot be celebrating. So she can't be wearing new clothes, you can't be wearing jewelry, you can't be applying henna, mehndi. Similarly, the husband passed away. So during that iddat period, you can't do that. Now when the iddat finishes, 130 days, our people, Indian people especially, now that widow, they say, tomorrow you must go to your son's place, daughter's place, you must leave the home. There's no such thing in Islam. This is a tradition, custom we brought about with the Lal Kitab from India. Some kitab somebody wrote in India, so we brought that. So in a case like that, she stays in the home if she wishes, it's her prerogative. She just wears new clothes, she wears jewelry, apply henna, mehndi, she's young or old, and she feels she wants to settle down. Now she can entertain proposals and so forth. So these are the things that you need to know, not what many women or people are telling you. A lot of things are propaganda and fairy tales.
Mufti Saab, how does one tell the difference between a true dream and a shaitan dream? Can it be mixed?
Remember Adghathu Ahlam, Surah Yusuf, when you have all mixed up, then you call it that a mixed up dream, Adghathu Ahlam. Let's give you a lesson on dreams. When Anbiya alayhi salatu salam see dreams, it is wahi. Ru'yal Anbiya'i wahyun. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam saw a dream, Surah 37, verses 101-102. He made dua to Almighty Allah, Surah 37, verse 100. Those of you who want pious children, read Surah 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O Allah, grant us pious offspring and children. Surah 37, verse 101. Falamma balagha ma'ahu sa'ya yaqala ya bunayya inni ara fil manam anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. He tells his beloved son, Ismail alayhi salam, who's running and now embracing him, kissing him, laughing, smiling with him. Oh, beloved son, I see a dream. I have to sacrifice you. What you say, beloved son? The son is also destined to become a Nabi. Ya abatif alma tu umar. So, Anbiya, messengers, dreams are wahi and revelation. Me and you ordinary mortals, asdaqu ru'ya bil ashar. The best dream and the most dream that is has authenticity in Islam for us ordinary people and mortals is the one that you see suhoor time, sehri time. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. So those dreams, remember, are true most of the time. Second one, you see, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided it into three categories. Second one will be tahdithun nafs. You know, we are thinking. The boy is thinking of that girl there, I want to marry her. The girl is thinking of that boy. So remember, whole day they dreaming of one another. He even dreams of her. One person sent me a message, Mufti, you know what? We perform Hajj. In my dream, I'm reading Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik. I said, very good, Allah will take you for Umrah, inshallah. Allah take us all for Umrah and Hajj, inshallah. So remember, in a case like that, you see one another, that is your subconscious mind, because you're dreaming and thinking about her all the time. Third one is takhwifu shaitan, that the shaitan comes. The shaitan is a big terrorist. So he came with a big sword, he came with somebody, and he's terrifying you, and you wake up, nightmare, huzu broken, everything broken, you understand? So shaitan is terrifying you. So Islam taught us, before we sleep, sleep on huzu. Second one, read Qul ya kafirun, Qul huwallah, Qul huwallah, Qul bin nas. Read Ayatul Kursi. So when we read all these type of things, then we have built our firewall. You know, computers, you say build firewall. So these are our protection mechanisms that we have. Next one is, when we see a terrible dream, then spit there in that direction on the left hand side, but no saliva will come out. You just say, you do that and remember that and say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. And when you woke up, if you were sleeping on your right flank, then turn to your left flank. If you are sleeping on your left flank, turn to your right. So these are the teachings of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Open Mishkat Sharif, Abwabu Ru'ya, and the whole chapter on dreams and so forth. So, and if you see Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani fa inna ash-shaytana la yatamathalu bi. Whoever saw me, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a dream, then remember, so definitely you saw me, because the shaitan can never ever take the Mubarak form of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, he can take my form, your form, all that he can do, but not of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is azmat and respect of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala gave Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the basic things that we should know about dreams and so forth. So don't start thinking that we became buzruk now. People just start reading tahajjud, start reading salat, they see dreams, they're already flying now. See, maybe buzruk ban gaya, you see, that I'm also very pious. That is all shaitaniyat.
Well, that brings us to the end of the Q&A segment for today. Already 15:56. We request Mufti Saab to conclude with a nasiha.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tomorrow, my brothers, sisters in Islam, South Africa, many other countries, is the 9th of Muharram 1441. Tuesday will be the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. What should we be doing on the night of Ashura, Monday night? What should we be doing on Tuesday? That is the big lesson we should take home. Number one, is it an auspicious night, auspicious day? Without a shadow of doubt, it's auspicious, big night, big day. And remember the hadith in Tirmidhi, Taballahu fihi ala qawm, wa yatubu fihi ala qawm in akharin. Allah Jalla wala accepted the tawbah and repentance of a people in the past, the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Allah will accept the tawbah of other generations, other people in the latter time, me and you. So it's not time of celebration and festivity. Go here, go there, and no. Cry to Allah. Beg Allah for forgiveness. Tomorrow night, we all are sinners. We all are guilty. There are no mitigating circumstances. Ya Allah, I'm guilty as charged. Apne rahmat mein lapet le. Wadkhilna fi rahmatik. Ya Allah, envelope us in your mercy. Ya Allah, make sattari cover and conceal our vices and sins. Ya Allah, tomorrow on day of justice, Surah 3 verse 194. Wala tukhzina yawm al-qiyamah. Do not disgrace and humiliate us on that day. So many du'as. Ya Allah, protect our iman, our beloved country, South Africa. turbulence, mayhem, chaos in so many places. Allahumma aminna fi awtanina. Ya Allah, grant us safety, security in this beautiful country. Ya Allah, so many brothers, sisters are sick and ill. Grant them shifa. Kashmir, Palestine, Yemen, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Burma, bleeding. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we should be begging Almighty Allah on our behalf and the Ummah's behalf. Then Monday, Tuesday we fast, or Tuesday, Wednesday we fast, or keep all 3 days. That is very, very good and excellent. Third one, tomorrow night, Monday night after Maghrib, after Isha, whenever it's convenient, mashallah, a meal, or whatever you feel, husband, wife, parents, children, so you share a nice meal and so forth. So inshallah, Allah will grant you barakah. So one is the fasting, one is the tawbah, and one is spending a bit extra. So these are the three things we should do. Now what we want to do, we want to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and we want to please Shaitan. Haj ki Kaaba ki bhi, Haj ki Ganga ki bhi, Razi rahe Rahman bhi, Khush rahe Shaitan bhi. People want to perform Hajj of Baytullah. Then they say, let us go check a little bit. So they busy with Bollywood, they busy with Robin Hood, they busy with the Shaitan Hood. So all this, so we want to please Allah and we want to please Shaitan. Yes, Shaitan will be pleased, Allah will not be pleased. So my brothers, my sisters, I humbly appeal to you, make dua for us, we will make dua for you, and may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala accept us all for his deen, Ameen. Make our khatim on iman. Tonight, inshallah, in the Mirbank Masjid, we'll have a program. Tomorrow, Monday night after Maghrib, in the Avondale Musalla, and tomorrow night after Isha, we'll be back here in the studios, and it will be the Q&A between 8 and 10 with Mona Arafat, Hati, and myself. Jazakallah khairan Hafiz Wadi. JazakAllah khair to the entire team. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say shukran and wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Saab, and to Mufti Saab on behalf of Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, Haji Ahmad Latif, and Haji Muhammad Hussein, and the parents and family. We say JazakAllah to Mufti Saab on behalf of the Markaz team in Durban, the Al Ansar team, for this Muharram tour, and we request Mufti Saab's esteemed du'as. We also say JazakAllah khair to Maulana Abid from the Quwwatul Islam Jama Masjid in Verulam for allowing us the opportunity for the programs. Also to Hafiz Uwais Sufi from the Glennon Road Sufi Masjid, we say JazakAllah khair to you. And to Masjid al-Hilal, to the Imams and Trustees, we say Shukran JazakAllah khair to you. Mountain Rise Masjid, Maulana Suleiman Bamji, and also the Inspingo Hills Masjid, Maulana Ridwan, Mirbank Masjid, Maulana Ismail Kareem, we say Shukran to you as well. And Avondale Musalla, to the Imams Maulana Randri and to Maulana Zubair, we say JazakAllah khair to each and every one of you. And inshallah, until next time, we say fi amanillah assalama. Shukran to Abdul and all the engineers, as well as to Buddy Governor. That's coming up next, inshallah. Coming up is going to be the news, and then Buddy Governor. Fi amanillah assalama. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.